You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am host Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And we, if you are joining us for the first time, we're a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone today and some innovative guests each week and also what's going on around the United States on our events calendar.
That's right. Today's guests are really, really cool. We have Jillian Larson, and she was on Survivor Season 17. She was 61 when she made it, and she has just an amazing story of how she actually got on the show, for starters. And then how she actually went on to create Reality Rally, which is an event that helps raise money for breast cancer.
Yes, and we're also going to have one of her reality co-stars, if you will, from another reality show, Rich Mancini.
Mm-hmm. He was on Hell's Kitchen 12.
He was on Hell's Kitchen 12. And we look forward to hearing those guys, their innovative, very creative stories. And yeah, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, the cool thing about it is how these guys have been able to take their celebrity status and give back.
Yeah, so that's going to be really great. We look forward to talking to them in the next couple minutes. But first, we had some really cool things go on this week.
Yes, we did.
What did we do?
Well, we went to Eric Zulli's party, and Eric Zulli is from Easy Way Broadcasting. He had a birthday party this past week, and we met some really, really cool people there.
Mind you, Easy Way Network is the network that this radio station is on Blog Talk. So we thank you, Eric, for always being supportive of us and our show and introducing us to some phenomenal people that are doing great things that we will absolutely be showing you guys on our show.
Yeah, we're interviewing a lot of people that we met there.
Yeah, you know, when you do an Easy Way event, you always get to do a lot of great networking. And Eric surrounds himself with very positive people, and it's a very nice, nice evening. The lady who held the party at her house, her name is Mooney Irony, and she's a fabulous individual.
Yes.
And it was a great, great party host, and definitely look forward to telling you about the women's shelter that she's trying to build.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be coming up again. She's going to be a great guest to have. But in talking about women and things that they've done, you went to a great event this weekend also.
I did. I went to the Los Angeles Women's International Film Festival, and I got to meet a couple of phenomenal people. There were two documentaries that I screened. One was called Coming Back to the Hoop. It was written by Jane Pittman. And I got to say that it really made me very teary for the first quarter of the movie because it hits so close to home in so many different ways. It is a story about a bunch of women, and get this, from the ages of 55 to 90 plus that have joined basketball teams and created senior basketball teams for women.
That's awesome.
This story was about this young lady, Jane, who was a basketball star at 16 and started to go through panic attacks on the court and ended up having to quit at 16, even though she loved the sport. So fast forward 40 years, and she's starting to have thoughts about playing basketball again and going, you know, that was one of the happiest times of my life, and I never got to accomplish my goals there, and I really would like to go back and accomplish that. So she found an ad in the paper that said, hey, there's a senior league. Come on and play. It's all women. And she did her documentary following her journey through the senior league, and it was pretty amazing. There are women on this league, and this is a league in the New England-ish area.
Mm-hmm.
There were women in their 90s plus that were blocking. They were falling on the court. They were, you know, pushing and shoving as if you were watching like the March Madness that's going on right now.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. They had spunk. They were like, look, just because we're old doesn't mean we're dead, so we still want to play. But it was really, really well done. And we're going to have Jane on the show to talk about how she came about doing this. Jane is a documentary film producer and writer, but has never done anything where she was documenting her own life. So this was quite a turn for her.
Very
and
cool.
And then the second movie that I saw was called A Fishy Tale. And that is a very spunky Sarah Pozonsky. I hope I'm saying that right. I probably just butchered it, but we'll let her say it when she comes on. Sarah was raised in Alaska as a fishing family, fishing wild salmon. And she had come to some restaurants that said they were selling wild Alaskan salmon. And when they served it to her, she knew by the look of it that this was not fresh, not wild, and maybe not even salmon.
Instantly. Well, I'm sure she probably instantly knew that what
she
it
did.
Was. Yeah.
So it spurred something in her that the United States public was getting duped in thinking they were eating something that they weren't actually eating. And as she started diving into the process of, well, how could they sell fish that's not really from my land? Mm-hmm. As she started diving into that, she realized that there is a really big controversy going on about fish that are being created in pens, farm fish, they
fish
call
farm,
that,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Versus fish that are being just caught in the wild, and the devastation that the farm fishing is doing to the ecosystem. So she stomped all around the United States and went and talked to congressmen and people from NOAA and a variety of different places that govern this market. And she created a really, really strong eye-opening documentary. And I want to congratulate her for having the cojones at a young age to go ahead and do that. And we look forward to having her on the show as well. So I thought that those were two really great movies that I went to see. I applaud these women for taking this step out and going for it.
So this is what's going on the events calendar that you can check out more details at humanitarianradio.com.
Yes, we have coming up on March 26th, the Nancy Schaefer Memorial March. On April 10th and 11th, Reality Rally. You'll be hearing more about that today. That's the breast cancer awareness.
And we're going to be there actually too, performing.
Yippee, don't miss it. On April 12th, we have the Soul Tones in concert. And April 18th is Arbor Earth Day. Events going on there. And if you want to sign up for a really great retreat on April 24th to 26th, don't forget to check out Therese Hartman's Allowing True Love Retreat in Sedona, Arizona.
And last but not least, on April 27th through the 30th, it's a Monday through Thursday, we have Imagination IQ. And you can learn more about all these great events that are going on. Go to humanitarianradio.com and click on the events page. From there, you'll learn more about it. And we'll also give you links to the actual page where you can find out
how
everything
you
need
up.
To know. Yeah.
Yes, and if you have an event that you'd like us to broadcast, feel free to reach out to us on humanitarianradio.com or our Facebook.
Positive quote of the day. You are the most influential person you will speak to all day, by Zig Ziglar. Now, if you don't know who Zig Ziglar is, he is a motivational speaker who has been around, I think, probably from the 60s. And he was extremely, extremely well known back then. And when you think of this quote, you are the most influential person you'll speak to all day, it really means going inside and really listening to what your thoughts are and what are you telling yourself. Because whatever you're telling yourself, that's what you're putting out there. So you can listen to a lot of other people who might influence you, but if you really take the time to listen to what your heart is saying and what your soul is saying and listen to that inner voice, I think that's what's going to really make the difference. It's a really positive quote, and that's why it's so simple, but yet I think it holds a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's those simple little quotes that make you think the hardest. I really appreciate those. So listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break and say thank you to our sponsors. And when we come back, we are going to talk about fabulous things that are going on in the world today. We're going to have two great guests come and join us, and we're going to play some positive music by Saint Tone. So stay tuned.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. Mama said we can always hug it out. Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
And it is that time that we love so much, and it's shouting out some good news from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard a really cool story this week that I'd love to share with you. There is a group called Tote Maritime, T-O-T-E, Maritime of San Diego. They have developed a new age in American maritime. Now, those of you who don't know the word maritime, that is big, large ships, like ships that haul containers of stuff around the world for us. Well, these guys have been very innovative in creating the very first ship to run on natural gas.
That is awesome.
It is really awesome because when I was looking at some of the stats, they are the first clean burning ship in the world. And they've reduced emissions below even the world's most stringent standards. So they've not only gone below the standards that have been set, they've literally created a class of their own. So what they're reducing is sulfur dioxide emissions. So anything that they're emitting from a boat that you see those big black stacks spitting out, sulfur emissions, they're reducing by 98%. Particles and matter, just regular old junk floating in the air, they're reducing by 99%.
That is insane.
Nitrous oxide and carbon dioxide, they're reducing by 71%. And these ships are currently operating in Puerto Rico as we speak. So those are the first journeys out. They came up with this idea in 2012, and they are now launching ships. And I absolutely congratulate them. If you're looking for information on those guys, it's www.totinc.com. Cheer them on, man. They're doing great things.
That is very cool. Well, from there, we're going to go to Ontario, Canada. And this is something... Yes. Ontario, Canada, there is a 13-year-old boy there who has Asperger's. And Asperger's is a disease that people just don't know how to socially connect with people, with different friends that they might have. So this guy has a lot of problems making friends. And he had a birthday party, and no one RSVP'd.
Ugh.
So his mom felt really bad and didn't know how to handle it. So she turned to the internet, and she posted saying, like, listen, my boy is having a party. If anyone can wish him a happy birthday.
Okay.
Well, a ton of people wished him a happy birthday. Matter of fact, Carrie Underwood, Molly Ringwald, Elijah Wood, and some other
cool is that?
Maple Leafs. And Blue Jays that are Toronto Maple Leafs and Blue Jays all tweeted him. And it went even further than that. She decided since all these people started just chiming in, it reached 750,000 views.
Oh, my gosh.
She decided to have a birthday party at a bowling lane.
Okay.
And it was flooded. There's a photograph here. And it's just a mass of people wishing him a happy birthday.
Now, what a cool idea is that, first of all, you know the mom had to feel really bad that the kid didn't get any RSVPs. And how rude of people to go, sorry, not going to go celebrate with you today.
Yeah.
That in itself is just a smack yourself for that one.
Right. But the fact that, you know, all these celebrities reached out and then to have that birthday party at a bowling lane and then hundreds and hundreds of people to show up.
Totally.
You know, it just obviously made this guy's day.
I really want to say that that is, again, as we keep proving again and again and again, one person can make a total difference in other people's lives. I mean, that's just a mom going, okay, I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
That's it. And look what she did. She probably changed the future of that child in showing that child what you can do.
Without a doubt. And I guarantee you, if he throws another party, everyone's going to RSVP.
You betcha.
Like, you're the popular kid now.
Very cool.
You know, and I want to talk about also, you and I watched a documentary last night on HBO. There's a new program called Vice, and it's the executive producer is Bill Maher, and everyone knows Bill Maher for being a comedian.
So he's producing a new series called Vice on HBO. And the show, the episode that we watched last night was about how they have found using a variety of cooties, if you will, as in measles, HIV, polio, that type of thing, is actually curing a variety of styles of cancer. And this is something that they've been working on literally for the last several years, but they now have proven and tested, documented cases where they're injecting the measles virus, HIV virus, polio, and a variety of other viruses that have been altered genetically into the human body, and the viruses are attacking cancer cells, and people are getting 100% bill of health on no cancer as a result.
And the results are happening actually really quick. Within 8 days, they start seeing the differences, and as the studies go, it's 8 days and then 15 days, and it's amazing. It's
so
really amazing work.
Definitely you want to check out that HBO series Vice. I'm sure that if any of the other shows are like this one, you will really have some eye-opening changes that are happening in the world in a positive direction.
So we are back with Jillian Larson from CBS Survivor and also Reality Rally. How are you, Jillian?
I am excellent. Thank you, Tony. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for having me on your show.
You know, I got a chance to meet you briefly at the Ascent Expo in Los Angeles, and I knew once I got your card that I wanted to have you on the show. And once reviewing your bio, I knew definitely I wanted you on the show. Tell me how you got started. First of all, I know there's a great story behind how you got on CBS's Survivor. Why don't you tell that story?
Yeah, I will. You know, in 1999, there was a radio ad that I heard saying that there was going to be a new TV show that was going to strand ordinary people on an island and only one would survive. Well, that got my attention. So, I believe that messages are sort of sent to you to hear, and if it's meant for you, you'll do something about it. So when I saw the first Survivor, I thought, wow, that isn't, you know, good grief. It's a whole bunch of people just being horrible to each other. And I thought, that's no good. I'm going to watch it. But then they went into the challenges, and I was hooked. And I said, right there and then, I don't know what made me feel it, but I felt it, and I knew it was going to happen. I was going to get on that show. For no particular reason. I mean, I didn't realize that you could then be a public figure. I didn't realize it was this afterlife. I knew nothing other than knowing that I really needed to do that. So I did. I applied. Nothing happened. I applied again. Nothing happened. I applied again. Nothing happened. So this went on for 8 years altogether. Now, during that 8 years, I did get 2 interviews. And they were like a minute and a half, and it was like, okay, thank you, goodbye. But, you know, I never gave up because I did believe it. And I do have a motto that is dream it, believe it, prepare for it, and do it. So I had dreamt that I was going to do this. This was a dream in my head that was going to happen. I did believe it, and I prepared for it for 8 years, and then I did do it. And it's a hard thing to do. I actually applied 20 times altogether, 15 in tapes, but others were open casting calls, interviews, extra phone interviews. And my message is about persistence and dealing with disappointment, not giving up just because somebody said no to you. If you know you've got what it's going to take, maybe the person that's working with you doesn't know that yet. So you've just got to keep going and going. And if you know you can do it, but you have to prepare for whatever it is that you want to do. And by the time I got on, I was 61 years old, and I wanted to show that whatever age you are, you really are capable of something that you can do. And since then, it's obviously become, what can people do to make a difference in other people's lives? And I'll talk a little about Reality Rally shortly to show what we have done with that. Mm-hmm. But it took me 8 years. I never gave up. I dealt with the disappointment or the rejection because I was told no personally to my face several times. And I just believed it would happen, so I kept working on it. But I was preparing for it all the time because when I got on, and I always said, when I'm on, I knew I needed to be prepared. I needed to be fitter. I needed to know more about living in the wild. And I already knew a fair amount of that because I grew up in South Africa. So I just knew I had to keep going. And I did. And I got it. And being on Survivor has given me an amazing platform to do so much more with it. And it's for the good of other people. It's really got nothing to do with me and me being this public figure and, you know, on newspapers and magazines and stuff. It's all about being able to do something for a charity and for a town and for people. And it's been amazing. So, yeah. My message is never give up if you know that you're capable of something.
When you were applying for it for 8 years, what were your friends and family saying? Were they encouraging or were they discouraging? I'm just curious to see how this applies to other people that are going towards their goals.
Well, this is actually very interesting. It's a big part of when I do speaking engagements, and I've done like over 400 and something speaking engagements altogether. So it's a big part of the message is my family were very supportive because they knew me. I mean, they know what I'm capable of. They knew I'd be, you know, it would work. It's great. You know, you're welcome to go. They were very, very supportive. And other people, either very supportive, or you just kind of know that they're sort of rolling their eyes and thinking, you know, you've got to be crazy. You'll never make it. And not because I was not particularly fit for that that show. I couldn't have applied for American Idol. I don't know how to sing. So you've got to look for and apply for things that are within your capability. So my family knew, and a lot of friends knew, but there are 100,000 people that apply every season.
Wow.
And out of the people that end up on Survivor, only, and I'm sure the statistics are the same, similar for the other shows, only 30% are from applications like mine. The rest are referred, found, you know, recommended, put in front of somebody. So it was tough. And people said, give it up. And I said, why? Why should I give it up? I absolutely believe it's going to happen. And it's a very brave thing, actually, to tell people what your goal is. But if you don't, I find that what you're doing actually mentally is giving yourself an escape hatch. So that if that doesn't happen, you can say to yourself, well, I'm glad I didn't tell anybody because now I'm not going to be doing that. But preparation for anything actually can be preparing you for something that you didn't know what you were preparing for. And my journey for 8 years was not just preparing me to be on Survivor, it was actually preparing me to be off Survivor. So I could take a message out in speaking engagements, and I love speaking to schools. I don't charge schools, I don't charge service organizations, I don't charge military groups. Because I believe there's a message of persistence and belief, and dream it, believe it, prepare for it, and do it. And also it prepared me to be this mini public figure. Well, it isn't. I guess I'm a public figure now. And a celebrity, but I'm an ordinary person, as we all are. And it's given me that platform to do so much more with. It's been amazing.
You know, now, did you come up with dream it, believe it, prepare for it, do it while you were still trying to get on Survivor, or was this something that you developed afterwards?
Actually, afterwards. I tried for 8 years. I played for 6 days. I was knocked off second. I lost 12 pounds, and I had a five-week vacation. And during that 5 weeks, you don't leave. You see, you're in the same place. You're not at the game, but you're taken away from the game, but you're there. So I was in the jungle. We were in a converted lighthouse that overlooked the ocean on one side, the jungle on the other. So I started walking 5 hours a day, training for a 60-mile walk that I was going to be doing for the Komen Foundation when I got back.
Wow.
So I said, fine, where else can a person walk in the jungle and look for monkeys and hopefully find elephants and what else you might find and hundreds of crabs on the beach? It's totally serene, nothing else to do but have an empty head, basically. Didn't have to. I had no family, no internet, no phone. There's some books, but that was it. So I thought, all right, what am I going to do with this experience? Why was I so driven to do this? Why, what pushed me? There's got to be a reason. And my daughter had hidden a message in a book for me by dotting, highlighting words that actually was a letter from the family, because they don't let you take anything with you that's personal. And I realized the dots in the book actually was a message, a letter. So I read the letter, and of course I'm so bummed that I didn't go any further than to being off second. And two things struck me. One was, honor yourself. Always honor yourself. And I couldn't say the things that I wanted to say about my tribe just to be good television. I just couldn't. So I honored myself and my family by being, you know, the nicer person that I am. And secondly, it was, this isn't over. There's something bigger for you around the corner. Now, what she knew, I have no idea. Obviously, she knew nothing. So I started thinking, what can I do with it? And I thought, you know what? I have a message. I'm 61 years old. Nobody is too old to do anything if they're capable of it. I can give a message of persistence, believing in yourself. And so I thought, okay, throw that into a motto. I'm always putting things into slots. Some saying. And so I thought, okay, I did. I dreamed it. And I honestly believed it. But you know what? I prepared for it for 8 years, and you know what? I did it. So I pulled that into my speaking motto. And that's also then when I created Reality Rally, which is the fundraising event that I do, and we do, and have done for 5 years. We're going into our 5th year this year in April.
Excellent. I definitely want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to get back to Survivor for 1 second. The fact that you had that downtime of 5 weeks, like you said, without any communication, and that you went within yourself and said, how do I apply this time to do something better for myself and actually go forward? I think that was just so great for you. And obviously, there were messages there for you, and you heard them to go forward. And I think that's the thing that I want everyone to understand that are listening out there, that if you have a dream that you're extremely passionate about, regardless of who is around you, you need to keep going forward for yourself, because no one has the passion that you have. Only you have that passion. And I tell this story many times. Our band was able to play the inaugural ball for President Obama. And
awesome.
We had made, I think it was like 256 phone calls. And they were all no, 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 no. And everyone around us said, there is no way you are going to get that gig. He's the first black president. It's impossible. Why are you even trying? And sure enough, we did it. So.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very similar to your story, where regardless of who's around you, if they're not supporting you, then take that and let that fuel your fire. And that's something that I usually say when I'm giving a presentation is, if there's someone negative in your life, you don't need to necessarily shun them away. Take them and flip it on them and prove them wrong. And as you do, expose yourself by saying what you really want to do, you're putting yourself in that position to say, I really need to succeed. And if someone says, see, I told you we weren't going to do it, they're like, no, I did it because I tried. You know?
There you go.
It's the trying is so much more powerful than not trying at all and saying, yeah, you're right, I didn't want to try it anyway. So from this experience, you started Reality Rally. So tell us a little bit about that.
Just actually before we go into that, when you're talking about the flame of passion, I end my speaking engagements with, because in Survivor, the whole thing is you light a torch at the beginning, so you've got a flame. And when your flame is snuffed out by the host, Jeff Probst, you're out, you're dead, you're gone. Your flame is doused. So I tell people, and I carry kind of a Home Depot torch with me that I've beaded and made all pretty lights, because I'm not going to buy a big one, it's expensive. And I tell people, you know, Survivor snuffed out my flame in Survivor. But from that, the flame of Reality Rally was ignited. I just didn't know it at the time. But nobody will ever touch the flame inside of me, because I have total control over that. Nobody can touch that, and that's what I'm telling the people who are listening. You all have a flame inside of you. Do not allow somebody to snuff it out, because it's yours, and only you know what you're capable of doing. Don't listen to people. Go for it.
Amen. That's exactly how I feel, and I hope that this interview helps to inspire our listeners to actually go forward and do what they really want to do, and to take your story as an example to say, hey, she tried for 8 years, applied 20 times. Anyone else would have applied once or twice and said, that's it, I'm done. But you applied 20 times and it took you 8 years, but you finally made it on. And I think that is the key, is that you did it.
If people do quit after one or two of anything, any try, it just means they really didn't want that. Or they didn't think they were capable of it. Or they weren't willing to do what it takes. So there are lots of reasons why people do give up. But if you, listeners out there, are not in that category, and you do know what you're capable of, and you do want it, and you do know you can do it, that's when you go for it, despite all the odds that are against you. I mean, your band story, playing for President Obama, is a perfect example of that. So back to what I did then after that, after I was booted and I'm walking in the jungle and I'm totally bummed, and then I thought, all right, turn that around. You know, you're not going to have a pity party here in the jungle. Make the most of it. Have a really good time and do something with it. And so I created my speaking, but then I thought, okay, after talking to some of the handlers that were with me there, because I really didn't know there was this whole afterlife, I said, well, so what do people do after they've got on Survivor? I'm trying to find a meaning to me trying so hard. They said, oh, sometimes they get together, sometimes they're fundraisers, and some of them get together to raise some money. And I'll tell you, this light just went on for me. And so 5 hours a day for 5 weeks, I walked and I said, tell me, universe, whomever one believes in, give me some guidance here. Tell me what I'm supposed to do with this. I love my town of Temecula. I love the charity Michelle's Place that we provide the funds for. She was a young girl who died at 26 because she was misdiagnosed with a lump when she was 19. And I am now one of hundreds of people that have been on reality shows. But yes, most of them are sort of frivolous, but they're very entertaining in different ways. And so many people, I call it the wave, the phenomenon of reality TV. People watch all these different shows, obviously not all of them, but they pick the ones that they like, and they watch them, and they follow the people. I'm always tickled pink when somebody gets all excited and jumps up and down and says, oh my God, it's Jillian from Survivor. Do you mind if I take a picture with you? I sort of look behind me and say, who are they talking about? You know, but they do. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pull these three things together. I'm going to look at bringing reality stars to town to raise money for Michelle's Place because I think people would want to come and meet them and have a really good time and promote Temecula at the same time. And it's been successful. But you know, it was an idea in my head. I call it my jungle vision. But I have a production team that have come on board, you know, over the years. It's now approximately 50 people who each have a portion of this event, like the lady I was just talking to, does the chef showcase. She's the coordinator for that, and she has a team of 15 people with her that make that event of the weekend happen. And about 400 volunteers for the whole weekend, and over 100 sponsors who do something to make what we do happen. And it's just amazing. We do. And I also trademarked Reality Rally with the intention that it could be duplicated in other centers. And I've had 5 requests already, but they all wanted me to go and do it, which I can't do that. A town, the area has to have pretty much the infrastructure that we do to be able to pull it off. And yes, I could consult with them and, you know, work with them to make it happen, but they'll have to do the work. So yeah, it's an amazing event. This year is our 5th year. We're bringing 99 TV stars from 42 different TV shows.
Wow.
Now, some of the stars that are on our website have been on 2 or 3 shows. So I count all of those, even though it may only say they've got 2 in their line, because each one of those shows may have a different following. And
exactly.
We're bringing 18 chefs from 10 different cooking shows to be part of our Celebrity Chef Showcase, which is a part of the weekend. We have 2 junior master chefs coming. And they have to actually raise a minimum of $500 for the charity to be here, which most of them do willingly, because otherwise it's just a huge big party. It's an amazingly fun weekend, but I want people to be here because of their hearts, not their ego. And
right.
They have to raise the money.
I think that right there shows a lot that they're not just showing up to sign autographs and just be part of the celebrity aspect of it. They actually have to have money in their hands to be part of it, because now it's like, hey, you can go out and raise some money as a celebrity and now get involved. I think that is great, because right off the bat now, each celebrity is contributing to the event and to the cause at the same time. So I think that is wonderful. That is awesome.
And the other thing was that I proposed to the mayor when I first, while I was here, was a city councilman at the time. And now he's actually one of our representatives. He just Jeff Stone's place, so he's moved up in the ranks of government. So I sat down with him and I said, I've got this idea in my head. What do you think? And he said, oh my gosh, that'll be great, but that's huge. You think you can pull it off? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I've always kind of been, yeah, we can do it. And we did. So I said, you know, the thing about it is that Temecula is a very, very charitable community. We have something like 400 charities in town. And we have all kinds of events, and we'll go to each other's events and everything and support each other. And we're tapping Temecula all the time. So I said, I know that this can work because the reality stars are going to be required to raise money. So we're going to actually tap their fan base. So if they've got like 100 fans out there, and if they all give $5 to their fundraiser, then the stars got their fundraising done. So last year, and I haven't done the stats for this year, and I won't until after our event. But for 2014, we brought in money from 16 countries and every one of the 50 states. And not that much from Temecula, because we don't target Temecula to give us the money. Because we target it for our sponsorships. Everybody gives us, you know, food and wine and venues and printing and signage and all that, and music and all that sort of stuff. But the money comes from everywhere else, which is awesome. And then the visibility. People then know what Temecula has to offer.
Absolutely. How long did it take you, just out of curiosity, how long did it take you to put together from concept to completion the very first one? Was it very long?
What happened was I thought of it in the jungle, you see. So on the third day after I was booted off Survivor, I was body surfing because I grew up in South Africa and we didn't have television, so we were all very sport-minded. So I'd learned to body surf when I was about four, and I crashed. I had a terrible crash. I picked a really bad wave, totally destroyed my shoulder, and so I had no use of it for close to a year, actually. I'd have it screwed and wired together when I came back, and like 2 or 3 hours of PT every day. So when I came back, I knew I had to get that arm back, and it was going to take a lot. So what I did during that year, while I was in excruciating repair pain and PT, I started researching. I looked everywhere I could to get a database of reality stars, people and names. I started watching some of more of the shows so I could get a sense of what the shows were like. I sent out feelers everywhere. I went to a few fundraising events to see how did they do it. And then I asked everybody, the organizers, how do you do this? How do you do that? I asked people who attended, what do you like about these events? What don't you like? Talk to the stars. I said, what do you like? What don't you like? And pulled the whole thing together. So it pretty much took a year. And then I talked to our council member and the Michelle's Place director. Both of them said, go for it. Sounds awesome. I knew nobody. I had a budget of zero, and there was me. So I said, do you have a list of people that like to do things in this town? And so I got a list, had a meeting. And then from there, somebody else said, oh, somebody'd like to help. Somebody'd like to help. And it just started. It just reached out. And, you know, I honestly believe it's because we've got the heart of it. I'm not doing this for myself, and not one of us are doing it for ourselves. We're all doing it for the good of people who have breast cancer and are struggling with something that we luckily don't have to struggle with. And a lot of the people who come on board are actually breast cancer survivors, and they want to do their piece to help out. So I literally have people calling me, either stars. Now we're closed to stars this year. We don't have any more coming. Because we have to make the arrangements after February 15th for everything we need to do. But I have stars that email me and saying, hey, I want to be part of it. What do? I have all kinds of people just saying, hey, you know, how can we be part of this? I tell the story and then say, how would you like to be part of it? And then they say, oh, I'd like to do such and such. And I say, awesome, thank you. And then we promote our sponsors and our participants as much as we can. I'll be talking about you on our social media. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with your listeners. So you're actually a media sponsor, so I will be promoting you. I'll send you the information and then get you up on our website. So we have media sponsors and all kinds of people that help us. People just want to help.
Yes,
most people actually want to do something. They just don't want to take on something huge.
I totally agree.
To help out.
I totally agree, and I think what you're doing and how you put it together is also just very encouraging to others, because I know there's a lot of people who talk about they would like to do something, they would like to start a fundraiser, or like they would like to support a cause, and they're not sure how to go about doing it. So something like this is something great, because you showed, just in you telling us, you showed how much effort it takes to put something together. It wasn't like, I'm a reality star, so I have everyone's number already. Like, there's a database out there. It's like, no, you had to literally go out there and find these people. It wasn't like you just made one phone call to CBS and go, give me a list of all your reality stars. It doesn't work
Which
that way.
They don't. I didn't get any lists from any of the networks. They're not going to share because they can't. I mean, it would put themselves in a bind or in a position they wouldn't want to be in, perhaps. I have another sort of talk that I do, and it's called the 12 T's of Success. Because people say, how did you make Reality Rally so successful? From the first year, it was like, wow. And I said, well, first of all, I didn't do it. We did it. And there's a lot of we in that. And secondly, the two first P's are passion is the very first P. You have to have a passion for something that you want to do. And then the second thing is you have to find the people. You just have to have people. And it is people with passion to help you if you want to do something. Because otherwise it is hard. It's a lot of work.
But yeah.
If the reward is there when I meet people from Michelle's place and or I hear, which I do, I hear stories quite often, somebody says, you know, I kept putting off that mammogram, and thank you. I heard about Michelle's place through you, and I decided, okay, I've got to do it. And they went and had their mammogram, picked up a lump. It was malignant, but it was early. And they also said, well, I've been putting it off because I didn't have insurance. So Michelle's place helps cover expenses, and that's what we provide our funds for, is the breast health program there. And they said, thank you. I caught it early enough, and I know that it was because of us that family will be spared the tragedy of losing a family member.
That is excellent.
That's what it's all about.
Totally, totally. Well, I thank you so much for taking the time out to tell your story. And again, if you want to be part of this, it's Reality Rally in Temecula Valley. You can see it. We have you guys listed on our events page. And they can reach out to you at realityrally.com, RealityRally.com. Thank you again so much for doing what you do. And keep up the great work, because I know you're encouraging so many others to take what they have and to give back, especially all the celebrities. I mean, the fact that you have 99 celebrities that get involved every year is phenomenal. I love seeing that type of work being done.
And, you know, that's the thing. People say, well, I'm not a celebrity. I can't do anything. Or I don't know people or whatever. Or I don't have the whatever. Everybody has something that they can do something with if they want to. And also, just the dates for this Reality Rally are April 10th and 11th, and it is in Temecula. And we'd love to see people and, you know, look at our website and take a look and see what we do. And, you know, my closing message is everybody can contribute to life. There's a saying that Nelson Mandela, who was my hero, had. It's not the fact that we have merely lived. It's the difference that we make in the lives of others that is important. And that's what it's all about. So thank you so much, Tony, for having me on your show. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you again. We look forward to seeing you on April 10th.
Thank you so much. All righty. Thanks, Tony.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to do our song dedication, which is a song written by Tony St. Tone. It's a song called Faith, and I chose this song because it's a song about believing that there is a possibility, and I think anyone who is struggling through any type of sickness needs to hang in there with their thought pattern and believe there is a possibility.
Yeah, I wrote this song when I had just purchased a home on a Friday and I lost my job on a Monday.
If that isn't about saying it all, of having
it's all about faith.
Faith and believing that there is a possibility of something good coming about, listen to the song, see what you think about it.
Faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. Times that we are falling cut within our lives, nothing more, nothing less. Times are tough, times are hard, we've all seen disappointments scar, but we're still here to tell the tales. When the glass was more than half empty, you got a pessimistic heart. Maybe faith. Faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. Go for life. Faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. I got nothing left.
our failures pinned up on the wall for everyone to check out. Maybe you got what I need to make this boy believe again. There's got to be something else in this living hell. When the bank is broke, no one calls, ain't nothing left at all. Faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. Cross the line. Faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more.
Once again, that is Faith by Saint Tone. You can check out that song at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to be right back with Chef Mancini from Hell's Kitchen 12. Don't want to miss it.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today.
So here we are with Chef Rich Mancini from Hell's Kitchen 12. And you made it to the top 10. Rich, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Hell's Kitchen and also your involvement in Reality Rally.
Well, I started off by answering an ad on Craigslist one afternoon for a show called Chef Wanted with Amber Rowe on the Food Network. And I went, they picked me. I did a restaurant in New York City. I competed, and lo and behold, I won. And I took the job in New York. And from there, a producer from Hell's Kitchen seen my episode and invited me for a casting call in Chicago. So came right to Chicago. Went and met him at the hotel, did a casting call for him, and progressed through the steps, and within two short months, I was picked for season 12 of Hell's Kitchen. I mean, it was kind of a whirlwind. It was totally unsuspected, but it turned out great for me.
Wow. You know, it's like from Craigslist to national TV. That's how it works these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's incredible. And from what I understand, you know, you have done quite a bit of work with different charities. Tell us a little bit about it. I know you have. Tell us first about Reality Rally and how you got involved with them.
Well, a couple good friends of mine were on reality TV shows, Nora Swice and Christina Scolari, which were on My Wife Chicago. And me and Nora grew up together. So she had seen that I did the reality shows, and she had mentioned to a friend of mine, you know, you should tell me to get involved. So I went to the website and looked it over, and it was a pretty amazing thing, you know, what Jillian's put together and her endless hours and work and what they do for women with breast cancer is quite unique. And so I sent her an email. She was all over it. And, you know, last year I raised, a little bit under over $1,500 and got to go down to the rally. And, man, I tell you, once you go there and you hear the story and you see Michelle's place, you're hooked. And this year, I'm a little bit over $2,500, so it's all good. We're going looking forward to going back in April.
Yeah, so from, I was going to say, so from what I understand, you have to raise a minimum of 500 to be asked to come down. Is that correct? Is that how it works?
Yes, you can either raise 500 or put your own $500 in, but it has to be a minimum of 500 to be invited.
Wow, so you're way above that. You're at 2,500 this year.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And you do a lot of work with other causes. Now, are you, you're located in Chicago, correct?
Yes, Chicago.
Okay. And tell us about some of the other places that you you get involved in with your charity.
Well, every year I do two big charities in Chicago, and then a smaller charity in Chicago. So I do Living Well Cancer Research, which is a very high-profile department of Northwestern Hospital, and it's they have two wings. They do cancer survivors, and they do cancer treatment people. And I got involved through a friend of mine's sister who went through the program, and this was my third year, and year one I raised a little bit over 7,000. Year two we were over 13,000. This year we're over 18,000. And wow. I donate dinners to people, and they bid on them. And I go to their home and cook for 10 people, bring servers, do all the food, tell my story, you know, answer questions, and they just seem to love it. So this is my third year. And the other charities I'm involved with, one is Paws Chicago, which is for dog and cats rescue. Again, I donate dinners, and they're a great organization, and we raised, I think, a little bit over $13,000 last year. And then I also do a Children Oncology Society, which is a friend of mine is president of, and it's camps and outings for kids with cancer. So I donate dinners there, too, and I go to the rally. I go to the benefit every year, and I do an appetizer station and take donations at the appetizer station. So, you know, kids, pets, and breast cancer are probably three of my weakest points. I really, my heart goes out to those people.
Wow, and I got to tell you, you know, I think it's a great concept. So what you're basically doing is you create a dinner for up to 10 people, and they bid on you actually coming to their house and cooking in their house. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
Sir.
That is a great concept. Now, with all this cooking that you're doing, do you ever have time to sleep, or do you ever have time to do any other work? Because it seems like you're cooking all the time.
Yeah, you know, I work full-time. I'm a country club chef. I'm executive chef of a country club, and I also have my own private chef service. So to answer your question, I get very little sleep, but I really love what I do, and I enjoy the constant working with cooking and people, making people happy. My enjoyment is my son, who's just turned 20 yesterday, plays junior hockey. So I'm leaving this weekend. He's starting his playoff start, so I'm going up to see him. But that's my fun, when I get to hang with him and spend some time with him, because he's at home about the 3 months of the year. So.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I think it's a really great cause of obviously, you're helping so many people out there with your skill. And when you can actually be able to give back with the talents that you have, myself being included, I know as a musician, when I can give back like that, you're doing something you love, and also you're getting a chance to help others out in the process. It's like a win-win situation all the way around.
Yes, very much so.
What do you have coming up in the future, and how do people follow you?
Well, I have a website, chefmostwanted.com, where you'll see my biography, all the charities. If you need to get a hold of me or ask questions or look at some menus, it's there. The first week of April, I am going to New York, Syracuse, New York, to teach a pasta making class at a culinary school for 40 students. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow.
And then April, I have a reality rally. But right at the end of March, hopefully the end of March, I have a line of 3 entree sauces coming, hitting the market.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll be launching that.
Wow, you definitely do not sleep, my friend. I could tell. Either you have a bunch of elves running around doing this stuff for you, or you're not sleeping.
No, it's me. I'm a control freak. So it's usually me.
So I guess if I want to get in the kitchen with you, it's like, no, we're doing it my way. You sit, and I'll serve. And then.
Pretty much.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's pretty much me.
How was it like, just out of curiosity, you know, being a control freak, as you said, and working with Chef Ramsay, were you able to take his criticism or his advice at any point?
You know, my biggest fear about doing the show was that I can't have a temper at times, and my fear was that he was going to give me the wrong time, and I wasn't going to be good for my career, but I kept it in the back of my head. But once you work with him and you realize what a great chef he is, I mean, I've been doing this 22 years, and I've learned so much cooking with him side by side. mm-hmm. that I was amazed at it. So I kind of got a respect for him to make myself think, well, first of all, you want to stay out of his crosshairs. You don't want to get caught in those crosshairs, because once you do, you're done. And
yeah.
second of all, you kind of get that respect. You say, okay, just shut up, do your job, keep your head down, and don't make mistakes. So that's how I got through it.
Gotcha, gotcha. And it sounds like that obviously paid off for you, because you were in the top 10 Hell's Kitchen 12, which is amazing. I mean, just having watched it a number of times, you know, just that type of pressure and the type of situations that they put you in, they're not your everyday situation. I know that they purposely make it hell for you to say, how well can you know, cook under these conditions?
Exactly right. I mean, you're getting little sleep. You're working in equipment you never worked with before. And there's no exhaust hoods. There's it was hell. It absolutely was hell. I mean, the perfect name for that show.
So for all the fans out there, they realize, no, it's really hell. It's not fake. It's really that intense, and it's that much pressure. Because I mean, that's the whole point of it, is going, can you deal with that much pressure and still come out with a good dish?
Yes. It's 100% real, and they do everything in their power to mess you up.
Wow. Well, would you ever go back on it again?
In a heartbeat. Definitely would. I would do it in a heartbeat. I think just doing it and what it's done for my career and what it's done for people's careers, it's incredible. I mean, it's like being launched at a rocket. It's unbelievable.
That is awesome. Well, if you want to meet him, you can go down to Reality Rally. It is happening April 10th and 11th this year. And say hi. I believe what you guys are doing. Are you going to be doing any cooking at this rally, or are you just going to be hanging out and doing the games?
Actually, Saturday afternoon is a good time to come down. We're having a chef competition. And we break up into teams, and chefs compete against each other. It's a really, really good time.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to tell us a little bit about it, and we look forward to seeing you in April.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for having me on.
So be sure to check out Reality Rally. It's a two-day event in April, and we are going to be there with our humanitarian radio booth.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing you. Come on down and meet us. And, you know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story, or if you know someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio, or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.